Welcome to Unscripted, the pivot season. I'm Lisa Burling, an award-winning entrepreneur, business owner, journalist, author, and single parent navigating life with curiosity, courage, and a healthy dose of chaos. This season is all about the pivots, the ones we choose and the ones we don't. In my experience, both are fertile ground for growth, clarity, and becoming more of who we truly are. And in a pivot for this podcast, we've planned the guests. But the conversations, I promise you, they're completely unscripted. Each week, I'm opening my journal, I'm choosing someone amazing, and I'm going to sit down with them and hear about the bold pivots that have happened in their own lives. So what unfolds is absolutely real, raw, and refreshingly honest. So let's get into this week's episode. And just like that, we're back. I can hardly believe it. It's season two of Unscripted with me, Lisa Burling. It's been 6 weeks, actually maybe nearly 7 weeks since season one ended. And it was a really interesting time for me because I always intended that when I started this podcast, I would keep going. I didn't want to do one season and then go, nah, done with that, because, you know, it's unscripted. So it can be anything I need it to be. And that's really exciting. But I actually really missed it. And not so much the recording of the podcast, although I do quite like just putting myself away in a space and being on my own and just talking to myself at this point. But what I really missed was the interactions that the podcast started with people. It was the instigator of some really beautiful conversations, both in person or IRL, as the kids say, and, you know, over social media or emails. In fact, I was in a client meeting last week and my beautiful client made all the other people in the room subscribe to my podcast. And, you know, it was really, I guess, an example of, you know, another way that we can communicate with people, which, you know, I run a marketing communications consultancy, among other things. So that was, an example of how it has fostered some deeper connections with people. And I've always believed that, you know, people buy people. And I set up my first business off the back of a story, my story and why I did it. And that really did become my calling card. And with Mabel's World, my second business, you know, the personal story behind that has been a powerful one for me to share and the reason that people have connected with me. So yeah, I'm so happy to be back. What I didn't want to do was do a season one that had the same kind of, I guess, what would I say, skeleton as the last one. I wanted to change it up a little bit. I still wanted to make sure that whatever season two looked like, it was true to the unscripted DNA. And that was very much, I open my journal and whatever's happened that week, that's what I share unfiltered. And I just sit and talk and I don't have notes. I want to be really clear on that. Last season, I had no notes other than just, you know, the bullet points of what I wanted to cover off. And it's exactly the same for this season. I'm talking freely and openly. And yeah, it's just whatever's coming out is coming out, which is either going to be a good or a bad thing for us. Let's see what happens. But I did want to level up because I believe that when we do things and we, you know, are stepping into a new season, whether that's for a podcast or something else, it is always, I guess, a compliment to ourselves or a kind of, you know, a backing ourselves action if we change something a little bit. So what this season is going to bring you is not me just talking. I'm actually inviting some really special people to come and sit with me each week and to share a particular story that I'm framing this podcast season on. And if you've seen any of the promos that I've done related to season two of the podcast, you will know that season two is the pivot season. So I am making a pivot literally by inviting people in. I think we can still have those unscripted conversations. And I'm actually saying and have said to everybody that I'm asking on, please don't think about what you're going to say. What I'm most interested in are the thoughts and the insights that are just hovering above your subconscious. I just want those things, or things that you haven't really thought through. You know, I'm not after key messages. I'm after the raw and the real. So I can tell you that's what's coming, and it's really exciting. And I've learned loads and continue to learn loads as I record the episodes, and I'm more than sure that you will too. So it's a collection of real conversations with people who have changed course in big or small ways. And all of them have come out the other side, whether they've got clarity, courage, you know, a new perspective on themselves, or have found themselves in situations they never expected. And it's, you know, been just the most wonderful thing. Each guest has come with their full heart. And every time I've finished a conversation, I'm like, oof, okay, which bit am I going to use for my audiogram promo? Because there's just so many amazing pieces of gold in here. So each guest is going to answer the same 12 questions. So I guess that's where I have scripted it a little bit. But what they're going to do is really just open their hearts. And I thought, well, you know, what's episode one going to be? You know, who will I kick off with? And in a very non-egotistical way, I thought, well, I think it really needs to be me, because if I'm going to ask other people to get vulnerable and to share their answers to questions under the theme of pivot with very little notice, then surely before I ask them to get vulnerable, then I need to go first. And if you are on my social media, you will see that my profile says, you know, I help people write books and build businesses scared. I'll go first. So I wanted to be really true to that. And, you know, the word pivot and what a pivot is, I know it, you know, because I've lived it multiple times. And this season's theme, it did just drop into my mind. It wasn't like a huge thought process. I didn't sit down and have a brainstorm with myself or sense check it with anyone. I was just like, I really just feel like this is the pivot season. And I know that it's, for me, it's the space where everything changed for me when I think about the pivots that have happened. And whether you leap or you get shoved, I've been shoved a couple of times into a pivot, they are fertile grounds for growth. There is no question about that. Pivots are also so good at reminding you who you are, because they're really where the rubber hits the road of our existence. And the other thing a pivot will do, it will force you to finally do the things you said you wanted to do, or you won't. And it's as simple as that. So yeah, it felt really good in my heart and in my DNA that season two of Unscripted had to be the pivot season. Now, a quick side note, and I am pretty sure that, you know, if I was a betting woman, most people listening to this will know the scene from Friends, the sitcom, the hugely successful sitcom, that there is a scene in one of the episodes that's all about a pivot. And if you know it, you're already hearing Ross yell, pivot, as he tries to move a couch. I'm pretty sure he's with Rachel, or maybe it's Chandler, I can't remember, but they're trying to move this couch around a corner on some stairs, and it is awkward AF. Like, it is so awkward. But I'm like, it's a funny scene. It's super funny. And you want them to get this couch around this corner. And to me, like, that's what a pivot is. It's like you're carrying something and it's a little bit challenging, but you're going to keep going. You're going to pivot. And I actually love, I don't know why this popped up, but probably on social media, let's be honest, when I was doom scrolling, it was showing the script for that scene. And literally all it had on the page for Ross in terms of dialogue was the word pivot with an exclamation mark. And I just thought, my gosh, isn't that just the most amazing acting from David Schwimmer, that he could turn just the word pivot in black and white typewriter font into a scene that was so funny and so memorable. And I thought, oh, that's really the essence of a pivot as well. You just need to say the word and it evokes emotion and thoughts in you. So really that scene from Friends, but you know what? And I should say the couch does get up the stairs eventually. It really is what this season is about. So it's a bit messy. It's hopefully going to make you smile and maybe have a giggle when you hear some things that go, been there, or, you know, I get that. It's going to be magical. And yeah, there's lots of move it around the corner moments that come with changing direction. And it is a pivot for this podcast that I've actually planned the guests. So, you know, that may be a little bit off brand when it comes to unscripted, but the conversations are not, they're not scripted. I literally get these people and I just start firing the questions at them. So there's almost no time to think in advance about what they're going to say. So that's what it is. And that's why I've chosen it. And yeah, I guess in the spirit of doing it to myself, I'm just going to jump straight in. And I've got these questions in my journal. And I'm just going to start asking myself the questions. And I'm just going to answer them off the top of my head. So this really is me going first. So I don't know whether I need to have a different voice, which is the question voice and then the answer voice, but I'm just going to probably just see what comes out. So the first question that I ask my guests is, what is the boldest pivot that you have ever made? So the boldest pivot I have ever made was when I decided that I was going to become a business owner. And I was about to say entrepreneur, but I can't say that because in my head, they're two very different things. So a business owner to me is somebody who sets up a business that is in a space where, you know, it's been done before. There's a well-trodden path, whether you've had a front row seat or not, you can see what to do. You can probably buy a book about it. You know, so that to me is a business owner. An entrepreneur is somebody who creates something new. It's new, it's different. There's no well-trodden path. There's no light being shone along, you know, the forest floor for you to find your way. You are literally creating as you are progressing. So the biggest pivot for me was when I decided to become a business owner. It was 2013. And if you've read my book, Dream a Little Dream, which then went on to become All It Takes Is a Little Gumption, published with New Holland Publishers, you'll know that in 2013, my first son was born prematurely, and that sparked off a whole series of events. And maybe that's what a pivot is. It's just a spark that sets off a whole series of events that forces you to change. And I had to make a decision because I found myself a single parent after he was born fairly quickly, and I had to go back to work. You know, I was on maternity leave, and the truth is I'm not very good at maternity leave. When I had my first baby, I really struggled to not do something professionally because I, you know, I had my babies later in life and it's such a big part of who I am. But I had to go back to work, and I had two choices. I could either go and work for somebody else, which is what I had done my whole life, you know, built my career working for other people, or I could set up my own business and create a reality that would enable to me to be the parent that I wanted to be, to show up the way that I wanted to show up. And look, I do giggle now because I thought setting up my own business would give me huge amounts of flexibility and freedom. And you know what? In some ways it did and it does. But in others, you know, you're essentially raising another child. And when you set up a business like I did, which was a PR consultancy, you are beholden to your clients and you say yes to everything at the start because you just don't know what's going to come your way. And, you know, you've got that real scarcity mindset rather than the abundance mindset, which is what I operate from now. And I know that, you know, by saying no to something, there's something else waiting in the wings that's better for me and the business and whatever's around me. So, yeah, so I decided to set up a PR consultancy with a three-year-old and a, you know, three-month-old, although I was setting it up while my son was in the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. In my mind's eye, what I remember then was the laptop light shining down on my hands as he was in his humidity crib cooking and growing. And I felt this universal push to do that. And I can't explain it any other way. I think if logic had stepped in, if I had perhaps applied some more rational thought, if I had sought the counsel of others, then there is no way on earth that I would have set up a business. And side note, if you're thinking about setting up a business and you're waiting for optimal conditions, may I please be the example that they don't exist. The only optimal condition is you and your mindset and your desire to do well and to work hard for it. That's pretty much all there is to it. So yeah, so I set it up and I sit here 11 years on from setting up that business. And that pivot marked the beginning of my journey of discovering myself. I would not be recording this podcast had I not had that pivot thrust upon me. So I am hugely grateful for it. The last decade has been phenomenal for me in so many ways. And the best gift of all is that I actually have just got to know myself. And I have said this before. In fact, I think I've said it in a previous podcast episode that I believe that the purpose of being here on this earth as the beings that we are is to discover who we are. And if we can, you know, end our days knowing that we squeeze the juice out of the opportunities and the skills and the experiences that we've had and really, you know, respected the place that we have, then isn't that just what it's all about? So yeah, that was my boldest pivot and I'm so, so grateful for it. The second question that I'm going to ask myself is, what does the word pivot mean to me in life, in work, or in this season of who you are? So the word pivot, it means to me innate bravery. So I think to pivot, you have to transcend logic in many ways, and you have to suspend yourself in a space where trust is implicit, where you know that regardless of what happens, when you take the leap into the pivot, it's going to be okay. There is nothing negative about a pivot for me. Because the pivot isn't what has happened or is about to happen. The pivot for me is the in-between. So in this season of who I am, pivoting means that I don't hesitate to do something if I feel it is absolutely instrumental in me fulfilling my life purpose. I don't hesitate if I feel that the pivot is directing me towards something that is going to enrich my life and who I am, which in turn will enrich my children, my family, you know, the people around me. Pivot is, it's just all goodness in my mind's eye. It really is. And I think to retreat from a pivot is one of the saddest things that we can do. I think we have to run full bolt towards them. and we have to embrace them. And not every pivot needs to be acted upon, or pivot promise of a pivot needs to be acted on straight away. But I just think they are just the most amazing opportunities for us. So yeah, that's what pivot means to me. I won't get it tattooed on my body, but you know, again, if you know me, maybe I will. So let's see what happens. Okay, so the next question is, what made me realize it was time to leave my full-time job and pivot my career? Was there a final straw or a slow burn? So I guess for me, you know, I had left my full-time job when I pivoted my career and I set up my PR consultancy. But if we fast forward to 18 months ago, I set up another business, which I do think is entrepreneurial in spirit. And that business is Mabel's World. The strapline is for the love of words. And Mabel's World really is all about helping others and myself as part of that birth stories, just get them out or absorb stories so they can learn. I just still marvel that we have an alphabet that has such limited letters, and we can walk into libraries and bookstores, and I mean, it is just infinite, the amount of stories that we can tell each other and that we can learn from. So I guess Mabel's World for me was like a mini pivot, if you like, because, you know, my marketing communications consultancy, it is all about communication and helping telling stories for clients and connecting with people in a way that changes behavior or changes opinions. But Mabel's World is more probably closer to the heart of who I am. So that was a slow burn for sure. Mabel's World was a slow burn. I'd thought about it as a pivot, as something that I could do, you know, a bolt-on pivot, if you like, for some time. And the more I thought about it, the clearer it became in my head what it is. And interestingly, now it's been out in the world for, you know, just over a year, it's even clearer what it is now and what it isn't. So I've actually started to strip back some things within it, which is it's interesting to, I guess, pivot within the confines of a container that you've created. And I purposely use the word world because I didn't want it to feel small. You know, Mabel's World it's not a suburb, it's not a country, it's a world. And in my head, when you come into Mabel's World, however you choose, you know, you essentially grab your virtual passport and get your stamps along the way. So some people, you know, start in my book writing camp, which is a 6-week program with me, or they're doing one-on-one book coaching, or perhaps they're on the wait list for my book club or whatever, Mabel's book club, I should say, it's not mine, whatever it might be. So I'm pivoting within the pivot, and it's definitely, Mabel's World was definitely a slow burn and continues to be, whereas my other business was, there was a final straw, absolutely, where I had to decide, and I had to decide fast. And that's where my PR consultancy was born, which is now Grass is Greener Marketing Communications. So again, maybe that's a pivot within the pivot, changing the name and defining the scope of the work we do more clearly. The next question is, what was the first thing I did or Googled when the idea to start my business landed? So I guess, you know, using the two businesses that I have, you know, with my PR consultancy at the time, LBPR, I did Google everything. I was fixated on the competition and who I'd have to compete with and, you know, looking at other brands and the colors that they used and the strap lines that they have and how their websites were laid out. Like I said, it was a well-trodden path. And because I'd had very senior roles in PR consultancies, both here in Australia and overseas where I lived for a long time, I kind of knew the dynamics and the structure and the framework that could, if I worked hard, deliver success. So the first business and that pivot that was thrust upon me was 100% a Google-driven expedition. Whereas the idea to start my second business, Mabel's World, I did none of that. And I still don't do it. I think I adopted a mindset probably 4 or 5 years ago where I thought, you know, I'm me and my voice is my voice. And regardless of the industry I'm in or the business that I birth or the books that I write, no one can replicate the essence of me. It reminds me of that Dr. Seuss quote, you know, no one is youer than you. And it's true. And suddenly I'm rhyming. But I didn't Google anything for Mabel's World. And even now I don't look at what other book coaching businesses are doing. I don't look at other book clubs. I know as and when I birth, you know, the book club, for example, it'll be uniquely mine. And I will attract people that want to sit with me and read books. And anyone who's doing anything in, you know, in the field of helping people birth stories or read stories is like a friend of mine. Like I would cheer from the rooftops for them because I do have an abundance mindset, as I've mentioned. There is enough for everybody. And how wonderful is it to have others that are on the, you know, the same path as you and saying the same things? Like I just think that elevates us all and, you know, is like the loud hailer that we can all shout into. So yeah, so Mabel's World, absolutely not. I didn't look at colors. I didn't think about logos. I knew who she was. I knew that Mabel was very old school, an old soul in a young person's body who loved cups of tea and sitting and just, you know, just escaping into other worlds. And so it was always pink. The font was always very old worldy. The kind of photos that I had taken, I knew what they were going to be. So it was, yeah, there was extreme clarity with that. So that idea didn't require any Googling at all. And I have had a couple of people say to me that what I'm doing is very different to the other kind of businesses in the same industry, which is really lovely because it means that I am doing something unique, but I'm not getting hung up on trying to be unique. It just is because it's me. So yeah. Okay, this question is a bit of a toughie, but it's what version of you had to die for this pivot to be born? And this is true on both occasions. The version of me that had to die is the one that says, who do you think you are to set up a business? Who do you think you are that you can create something that people would be interested in, you know, that people would want to invest their time and money in? Who do you think you are, Lisa? So basically, that horrible person who I call Karen Patricia, and I am sure I mentioned her in season one, who is in my head less frequently now, telling me I'm not good enough, telling me that I'm not delivering something that's worthwhile, telling me that the messages that I have to share are not going to help others, that version had to die. And this all comes back to self-worth, doesn't it? You know, we all have something to contribute. And self-worth and believing in ourselves is the fuel that will take life from existing to living. And so I'm not going to say that version, that Karen Patricia version, is dead because she's still there. However, what I will say is I have got a lot better at silencing her when she shows up. And I'm now working on ways to kind of bring her into the fold because at the end of the day, I know that version of me behaves that way because she's scared and a bit afraid of what will happen if she steps fully into who she is. So, and what I'm discovering is when you do that, you do things like this podcast and it's wonderful and fun and exciting and, you know, brings huge amounts of joy for me. So yeah, still working on it, but I think that's what had to, the process of that dying had to happen for my pivots to become true, both back when I had a pivot thrust upon me setting up my first business and when I chose to pivot with Mabel's World. Okay, what has surprised me most about taking the leap and being my own boss, the thing that no one prepared me for? The thing that surprised me most is, I guess, how resilient I am. You know, I would never have described myself as resilient previously, mainly because I didn't have to road test it. How do you know you're resilient if you don't have circumstances and events that force you to go, oh, right, okay, so, you know, I need to get through this. I now know that there is almost nothing that can be thrown at me in business that I cannot handle, that I have either not experienced more than once, that I don't have the tools to navigate, or that I just don't have the people that I can ask to help me who I know who've been through it. So I'm surprised at the resilience that the pivots have given me. And it's a muscle that I continually hone. And in some kind of weirdo way, I think I'm attracted to moments that force me to be resilient. I like it. It's like, you know, you miss a week at the gym, and I mean, I'm saying this like I have muscles, I don't. But if you miss a week at the gym and suddenly you notice your bicep isn't as big as it used to be, I think for me, resilience is a muscle and you've got to keep using it. Now, what I'm not saying is that you need to be, you know, doing deadlifts resilience-wise, because no one wants, I don't want to have huge reserves of resilience tapped into, you know. I like just the little ones, perhaps where I choose them. But yeah, I'm stronger than I thought, and I'm more capable than I thought. And that is absolutely what has surprised me about taking the leaps with my pivots that have been notable in my life. What lie about success? This is the next question. What lie about success did I have to unlearn on this journey? I had to learn that success is not a thing. It's a feeling. So I thought success was huge amounts of money in the bank. I thought success was awards, industry awards or external validation type recognition. I thought success would feel like I'd reached the top of a mountain and I knew I was at the top of the mountain and I could stand there and say, I did it. I made it. And success is none of those things for me now. Success is a feeling and it's much more granular. Success is when I finish a work day and think, you know what, I did the best I could. I did the best I could for my clients. I showed up, perhaps on days where I didn't really feel like I could. I was, you know, their voice for moments where they weren't there. I represented them fully. If it's a book coaching client, you know, I help someone further the dream that they have to birth a book. You know, this person, and this is true of a lot of my book coaching clients, who've had this manuscript or the thought of this manuscript sometimes for years, and they're doing it, and I'm helping them, and I'm encouraging them, and I'm letting them know that, yes, they're going to do it. Like, we're going to have this manuscript. You know, I often say I'm like a book midwife. That's really what it's about when I think about, you know, success. Yeah, it's a feeling. And yes, of course, you need money, of course. You need to, you know, pay your bills. And if you have a team as I do, you need to make sure they're taken care of. But generally, it's a feeling. And I love it because the feeling changes. It can be intense. It can be a glimmer. But it makes me smile and I just feel really good inside. So that's what success is. And I'm never, ever going to reach the end. Success is just ongoing, you know, and it morphs over time as I do. And that's really exciting to me. If my pivot had a soundtrack, what song would be playing in the background? Okay, if you listen to season one, I had the Kylie Minogue episode. So this will not surprise anyone who listened to that or anyone that really knows me. But the song that would be playing, and I can hear it in my head now, is Wouldn't Change a Thing by Kylie Minogue. I love the video. I love what Kylie's wearing and Wouldn't Change a Thing. She's got this white little outfit on with beads and her hair's a bit messy and it's just wonderful. But the essence of it is, as the words say, if I had to do it all again, I wouldn't change a single thing. And I would definitely wouldn't change the moments that I pivoted. Like, they to me are just standout moments. They are spotlight moments, and I became a better person, or I got to know myself better in those moments. So yeah, that song would be playing. I can even see the dance moves, and I do know the dance moves to that song. So yeah, Wouldn't Change a Thing by Kylie Minogue is absolutely my pivot soundtrack song. Next question, what's something I now allow myself to do that felt off limits before I was brave and pivoted? Okay, I allow myself to try things and have them not work out. I purposely didn't use the F word then, the fail, because things not working out is not failing. If you try something and it doesn't go the way you expected, then that's success to me. You know, I think anyone who's brave enough to try something, whether they do it out loud in front of people or they do it quietly, that's my kind of person. I often have this in my head, fail it forward and fail it fast. So try new things. You know, it's okay. Like, if, you know, like I said, if we wait for all the pieces to be perfectly placed, then we're never going to do anything. Like, we're never going to do anything. And I see people like that. And I wish I could just, I don't know, like, just transport them back in time to my pivot moments and go, look, nothing was right. Like, nothing was perfect here, but I did it anyway. And look what happened. Or, you know, just kind of peel back the layers of my failures, you know, perceived failures, and go, look, I tried that and it didn't work. It didn't work. However, I still learned something, and I failed it forward and I failed fast. So yeah, I definitely think allowing myself to try things is not off limits anymore, whereas before it was. And of course that comes with time and maturity and experience. But I think the sooner that you can learn that, and allow yourself to do things and not be so hung up on it being perfect or successful in inverted commas the first time, the better it will be. The better your life will be. I can promise you that. Okay, what's one piece of advice I'd give to someone standing on the edge of their own pivot? I kind of feel like I've already said that. Just do it. Just do it. If you're on the edge of a pivot, it is literally a little, you know, forward lean, and you're in it. If you are on the edge of a pivot, how lucky are you, or how fortunate are you that you have the option to pivot? I had the good fortune of seeing Bronte Campbell, the Australian Olympic gold medalist swimmer, speak at an event last week, and it was a fireside chat, and she was so honest and so beautiful and unscripted with all of us. There was about 30 of us in the room. And she talked about her kind of motivation for doing things. And she has a brother who has cerebral palsy. And she said, you know, he doesn't have options. You know, he is very unwell. He can't do things for himself. He doesn't have the option of going here or there. He doesn't have the option of getting up at the crack of dawn and swimming laps. And so what I got from her when she was speaking, that she lives her life for him as much as for herself. And so I think when you're standing on the edge of that pivot, remember how blessed and fortunate you are to have that option. And you're standing on the edge of it for a reason. You know, the edge is just before you fall. So, and fall, I mean, like, good fall, not fall and crash, but it's just before the momentum kicks in. So yeah, I think you owe it to yourself and to others to do it. You know, it's yours for a reason. Take it with both hands and just go for it. Is there a book that I'd recommend to help anyone listening and take the leap? Well, what a surprise that there is a book, and there's always many books. I guess the one that I would say I think is definitely worth reading is by Brianna West, and it is called, I'm actually just looking around my office because I had it here, and I think it is just called Pivot. So if it's, oh, here it is. I found it. It's under my podcast mic. This is very unscripted. It's called The Pivot Year. So it's 365 days to become the person you truly want to be. And I think it is It's a great book because they're little snippets. So you could read one a day, you know, you could read one in the morning, you could read one and make it your mantra for the week. You could print them off, you know, they're beautifully laid out pages. But yeah, I think that's a really great book to read just to kind of remind you and keep you going. And finally, what's one question you wish someone had asked you during your pivot and why? And side note, this question is going to go to my first guest. I'm asking every guest to ask a question, pose a question to the next guest. So my one question that I wish someone had asked me during my pivot and why is, what happens if you don't do it? And I would ask that because I think the saying, you know, we regret the things we didn't do rather than the things we did, is so true. And my life is just littered with examples of that being the case. My future self is responsible for so many things that I do today. Future Lisa would be really upset if the today version of me didn't record season two of this podcast. Whether there's one person listening or 100 people listening, I know that I would be so upset if in 6 months I sat there and went, oh, far out, I didn't do that. I know it. So what happens if you don't do it is the question that I'm going to ask my first guest. And let's see what they say. So that's me. That's it for this first episode. It's gone on far longer than I expected. If you listen to season one, typically an episode is about 20 to 25 minutes. And I do that on purpose. A, my brain, when I'm listening to podcasts, switches off after about that amount of time. And also, I think if you're listening to it in the car, which is what I often do with my podcasts, it's a, you know, a 20-minute drive is about right. So I probably have taken you somewhere in the car and then I'm coming back with you, or, you know, if you're playing me somewhere else, I hope it's been the length of time that you would need to drink a glass of wine or, you know, have a lovely cup of tea or coffee. So thank you for joining. I am now going to sign off and throw to the outro credits. And I'm really looking forward to introducing you to my first guest next week. So that's where I'm at this week, and I hope something in this episode gave you the insight, spark, or even a little nudge that you needed to embrace your own pivot. If this episode resonated, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me at Instagram, LisaBurling_entrepreneur, or even leave a quick review below, as it helps more people find this podcast. And if you know someone who'd love this episode, please send it their way. That's how we grow this community, by sharing what speaks to us. I'll be back next Friday with another amazing interview where we explore somebody else's pivots and the lessons that they have learned. Until then, stay curious, stay brave, but most of all, stay unscripted.